Thank you, Tammy, Nick, and Krista, for that wonderful ministry of music this morning. Interesting that that was the choice, Tammy's choice of ministry this morning, because we're going to be looking in Mark chapter 10. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 10. If you're looking towards the end, we're going to actually get back to the Gospel according to Mark series. And we're actually finishing up chapter 10 this morning by beginning in verse 46 and reading down through verse 52. Because in this particular Bible account, Jesus calls somebody to him, as Jesus is calling us to him as well. And this is the account of the healing of a man commonly known as blind Bartimaeus. And I trust that the Word of God will minister to your heart this morning and that you'll respond to His truth. It's so good to see so many of you who are part of our church family and have been out due to sickness or traveling back with us this morning. It's good to see some new faces and those of you who are visiting with us as our guests. Let me encourage you, if this is your first time here, first time in a long time, after the service, please come back to the connection point. I'd like to meet you back there. I have a gift for you, and I'd just like to touch base with you. So please come back and see me. For all of our folks, the invitation always is to come, and we'd love to be able to pray with you about things, and if we can encourage you and help you from God's Word with anything, it'd be our privilege to minister to your needs this morning and any time throughout the week. This evening, I'll be starting a new series on Sunday nights. We're going to be looking at different themes of trees in the Bible. And so tonight, we're going to be looking at the tree of life. It's interesting because the tree of life is both in Genesis and in Revelation, and we're going to look in both places in the Scripture at the tree of life. I trust that it will be that which will not only encourage you, but will be transforming in your life, as God has been using it in my life this week. Take your Bibles. If you haven't already turned there, turn to Mark chapter 10. Begin in verse 46. We'll read down through verse 42. In verse 46, the Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and saying to him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." You'll notice that in verse 46, the Bible says that there was a great number of people. Remember that this is Jesus with his disciples on the way to Jerusalem for Passover. And as they are going that way, as they come out of Jericho, there's a great number of people with them. That wasn't just Jesus' disciples in addition to the 12, although other of Jesus' disciples would have joined him on this journey. But you remember that between those who were of the house of Israel and the Samaritans, there was a bad blood. The Samaritans were Jew and Gentile. They were mixed blood, so to speak. And so the Samaritans hated the Jews hated the Samaritans. And so those up in Galilee, the Jews in Galilee, for the Passover or any time they would go to Jerusalem to worship, instead of taking the easy way, which would have been right down through the region of Samaria, down to the region of Judea, they would actually go through the mountains, cross the Jordan River to the other side, come down through a mountainous highway down the side of the Jordan River. Then they would cross the Jordan River and come to Jericho. And now they're on the way from Jericho to Jerusalem, which would have been about 17 miles or so southwest of Jericho. There are actually two Jerichos. There were the old ruins of Jericho. By this time, the original Jericho was in ruins, and then there was about 2 miles away the new Jericho that had been rebuilt by one of the Herods. And that is the Jericho that the Bible is referring to, that Jesus and his disciples, along with this great number of those that would be, quote, pilgrims, headed to Jerusalem for the time of the Passover. So there was a bunch of people. There would have been many beggars along that way. They would have known of the crowds coming, and they would have set out, and they would have been crying for help. And in this account, out of all those beggars, there is one who receives healing. Now, we know, according to other gospel accounts, there was another blind beggar with Bartimaeus who was healed. But Bartimaeus, even there, in those accounts, is the chief player, if you will. He is the one who cried out. He is the one who recognizes Jesus as Messiah. He is the one who, by faith, receives that which he requested. And so this morning, I want us to look and be challenged by the example of Bartimaeus' faith and of his interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that I want you to see is that Bartimaeus' faith was bold. In verses 47 and 48, the Bible says that he cried out. Now remember, there's a big crowd, and of course people, as they're journeying, often are in conversations. There would have been other beggars that would have been crying out, but Bartimaeus' voice is distinctly heard above them. And his faith was bold in that he called out loud enough for everybody to hear because he was calling out to Jesus. Maybe Bartimaeus had in mind Jeremiah 33:3, where God promised in the Old Testament, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Apparently that there was news, because if you look, the Bible says in verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth," that's going to be an important issue in just a moment. But when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he recognized, this is Messiah. This is God in the flesh, and he can meet my need. And so he cries out. His faith was bold, and he cries out. He was not ashamed. He was not embarrassed. He cries out to Jesus Christ as the Messiah, who's not ashamed to call out to Jesus as the Son of David. But he also did not allow the crowds to discourage him. He called out even louder. Look, if you would, with me in verse 47, the Bible says he began to cry out. And then in verse 48, the Bible says, but he cried out the more. And this word for cry literally means to scream or to shout until you are hoarse. That is kind of the flavor of that word in the Greek. And so he'd already been calling out loudly above the rest of the crowd. And when the rest of the crowd tried to silence him, he was not discouraged by that, but he cried out even louder. Bartimaeus' faith was not only bold, it was also accurate. He recognized Jesus as the Messiah. The crowd recognized him, or referred to Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. That was just very basically, very temporally, earthly oriented. This is Jesus who's from Nazareth. And so they were pointing back to his childhood, his upbringing, the human part of that. And certainly we understand that not only is Jesus Christ 100% God, he is also 100% man. But the crowd only recognized the humanity of Jesus. Bartimaeus, accurately, his faith was accurate in that he recognized Jesus as eternal God. He calls him the Son of David, an Old Testament term often used by the Israelites referring to Messiah. And even through the Old Testament, it's very clear that Messiah is eternal God. His request also was for mercy, was humble and appropriate. Look at what he calls out. He cries out, verse 47, that saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David," look at this, "have mercy on me." In verse 48, "thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He knew what he needed from Jesus was mercy. He did not act as if Jesus owed him anything. We live in a very entitled culture in the United States of America, and that often seeps into our thinking and attitudes as believers. Unfortunately, there's a lot of entitlement preaching going on that is kind of this name it and claim it. As if you just tell God back his promises and you just have these different secrets to prayer, and you can bring those before the throne of God and manipulate God to get what you want. God will not be manipulated. God cannot be manipulated. If God gave us what he owed us, that would be justice. And the sentence of justice for our sin would be eternal death in the lake of fire. And we'd already be there if we got what God owed us. But God is a God of merciful compassion. And when Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus Christ as the Son of David, he is saying, have mercy on me. I know I don't deserve you to do anything for me. But as God, he knew, his faith was accurate. He knew that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is merciful and compassionate and full of grace. One writer said this. He said, the deep consciousness of powerlessness, need, emptiness, and blindness lies at the bottom of all true crying to Jesus Christ. Christ does not honor those who come with an assumptive, careless attitude, making demands before his throne of grace. But they recognize when they come to his presence through prayer, it is a throne of grace, that God is a God of mercy. And by faith, recognizing that God's a God of love and of mercy, they call on him to receive what he has promised to do. Bartimaeus' faith also was persistent. He calls out in verse 47 and he keeps calling out in verse 48. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Let me encourage you. There may be something that you are praying for. Pray within the will of God. Always be yielding to the authority of God. Don't come with a demanding, arrogant attitude, but with a humble, faith-filled, accurate trust. Come before the Son of God and make your request known to him. And be persistent in that until he gives you the answer. Now, the answer is not always giving us what we ask for. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes the eternal God, whose timing is perfect, says not yet, not now. And we can trust his timing and we can trust his will. And if God says no to our request, it's because he has something much better in store for us. And sometimes we as limited, finite human beings don't know even what we're asking. But God does. And he knows what we need. And his will be accomplished and he will receive the glory. And when we go before him with that humble, accurate faith, boldly coming to him, unashamed of our faith in him and understanding who he is, he will honor us by answering that request. He did not, as I said this before, he did not allow the opposition to silence him. He was not shamed into silence. There's shaming that goes on in our culture. All kinds of different things. And you know what? Though this crowd tried to shame him into silence, he would not be shamed. He would not quit. He kept calling. And so I want you to see in verse 49 that Jesus responded to Bartimaeus' faith. Look in verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Jesus, in the very act of stopping and calling Bartimaeus to himself, is actually accepting and acknowledging the rightful title of the Son of David. Don't you find it ironic that the Son of David is going to the city of David, but not to take his place upon a throne, but to take his place upon a cross as the final full payment sacrifice for our sin. So that as the act of divine mercy, we who come with bold and accurate faith can come to him and acknowledge in humility that we are sinners, that we desperately need his forgiveness, that we desire that which only he can give through the miracle working of his grace, and that is to give us everlasting life. And when we call to Him by faith and He calls us to Himself, it is to give us that gift. For Jesus promised, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish," John 10:28. He also said in John 6, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You come to Him today in faith, asking Him to forgive you of your sin and to give you everlasting life. When you cast yourself upon the mercy and the grace of God, He will forgive your sin. He will save your soul. He will transform your life and your eternity. It's interesting, though, because in Jesus' response to Bartimaeus' faith, Jesus asks him a question. Look with me, if you would, in verse 51. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And Jesus asked him, "What is it that you would have me do to you?" So I want you to see, fifth of all, that Bartimaeus' response to Jesus' question. His faith was expectant. First, when he is called to come to Jesus, and the crowd say, "Rise, be of good cheer, he calleth thee," what does Bartimaeus do? He stands up, throws aside his outer garment, his cloak, and he goes to Jesus. Man, he was expectant. His faith was expectant. But I also want you to see how he addresses Jesus. Because when Jesus says, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Look in verse 51. "The blind man said unto him, Lord." That word "Lord" is Rabboni. It's not Rabbi, it's Rabboni. Rabbi means teacher or master. Rabboni means my teacher, my master. And he is expressing not only you are the Son of God, but you are my master. You are my Lord. I want to enter into a personal relationship with you, Jesus, Son of David. Yes, you are God, but Jesus Christ, you are my God. You may be here today and know that Jesus Christ is God according to the Word of God. You may know that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, and that is eternal death in hell in the lake of fire. You may believe the fact that Jesus, over 2,000 years ago, did die on a cross and shed His blood, was buried, and 3 days later conquered death and rose again. You may have a mental assent to that. You may have an educational knowledge. But until it becomes a personal interaction with the Son of God, merely that knowledge will not save you. You see, James said in James chapter 2, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Yes, you must have a right understanding of the facts of the gospel. But you must go beyond the facts, because a cry of faith, as Bartimaeus cries to Jesus, "Have mercy on me." And even as he gives his specific request, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Boy, is that sentence full of rich spiritual truth. But as you would come to him, if you have not trusted him, you enter in not by praying some ritualistic prayer, thinking that just going through the motions and having a religious education about the gospel can save your soul. It is when you put your personal trust in Jesus Christ. It's when you move from calling him Rabbi to calling him Rabboni, from just teacher and master to my teacher, my Lord, from the Savior to my Savior. Have you personally entered into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ? His faith was expectant. His faith was personal. It was also, he's indicating personal submission to Jesus Christ. He says, "You are my master and my Lord." So though he comes before the Lord Jesus Christ, though he's going to give a very specific response in his request, he is also saying, "This is my request. But you are the master. I'm only making a request. It is up to you whether you grant it or not." Now, his faith was expectant, but ultimately, his attitude was submission. Now, Jesus has promised that those who call by faith, he will give everlasting life. There is no doubt or question there. But sometimes, believers, as we come before the throne of grace, we're not sure that we know that we are praying fully within the will of God, that maybe there's something that we are missing. Maybe we have strong, passionate desires, and we bring those humbly before the throne of grace, asking God for mercy in that area of our lives. But we ought also always come as our Savior exemplified for us in his prayer in the garden the night that he was betrayed, nevertheless, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done, as he prayed to his Father. And may that always temper our prayers. But I want you to see that in Bartimaeus' specific faith, that Jesus honors that faith. Bartimaeus' faith was honored by Jesus. Look in verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now it's not just faith, it is that Bartimaeus' faith was placed in Jesus Christ. Alexander McLaren said, my faith is the hand that grasps Jesus' hand. It is his hand and not mine that holds me up. My faith lays hold of the rope. It is the rope and the person above it, speaking of Jesus Christ, who holds it, that lifts me up out of the horrible pit and the miry clay. Aren't you glad that your salvation, Christian, does not rest on your faith? Because our faith is imperfect. There's not a question of, well, did I have enough faith to be saved? Was I sincere enough to be saved? But when I take my faith, as fragile as it may be, and place it sincerely in Jesus Christ, to enter into a personal faith relationship with Him, having turned from my sin, having turned from anything that I would count as my own righteousness, as Paul said, not having my own righteousness. He says, those things that were counted gain to me. Speaking of his keeping the law and his blamelessness before his peers in keeping the law and his good works and his religious reputation. He says, all those things that were counted gain to me, I count as loss. What did he want? He wanted a personal knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. When you repent of your sin, you place your faith in Jesus Christ. He will answer that. He will meet that need. He will honor your faith. Believer, as you come with your request before the throne of grace, realize that faith is your hand grasping the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, that loving, powerful, personal hand of Christ. And realize that He has the power to meet your need, and He is able, as the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:20, to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And ultimately, as we come as Bartimaeus did, may we come with faith that is bold. Not with a self-confidence, not with an entitlement mentality, but as Bartimaeus did, with accurate faith, realizing we are speaking to the God of the universe, who is a personal God. Doesn't it blow your mind that the God who created not just this earth and everything on it and in it, and not only did He create all of the universe, but He holds it all together. By Him, the Bible says, all things consist. And you know, Christian, can't we take comfort and encouragement in the fact that the God of all the universe, who orchestrates and all things are under His sovereign domain, is interested in your needs and my needs. And that, Christian, there is nothing that does not concern my heart or your heart that does not concern the heart of our Savior. Sometimes Christians say, well, I'm not going to bother asking God about this or praying about this, because this really is, with all that God, all the big things going on and all the big prayer requests that need to be answered, why does God need to mess with little old me? He's not interested in my little problems. Oh, yeah? He knows how many hairs are on your head. And that's a constantly changing number. He sees the sparrow that falls, and He cares for that sparrow. And you have an eternal soul. And He knows you and He loves you. And if you've not trusted Him, He's reaching out to you today. And He's saying, just like He said to blind Bartimaeus, come to me. And He's saying, what would you that I should do for you? And you can cry out from your heart and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Cleanse me from my sin. Give me everlasting life. May I enter into a personal relationship with You, the living God. Or believer, you can come before the throne of grace and say, God, this is so important to me. I know in the big scheme of things, it might not be important to anybody else, but thank You that it's important to You, that You love and You care, and that You know what I'm thinking and You feel what I am feeling. And you are the Almighty God who has the power to answer this request. Now, Lord, I come humbly. This is my specific request. But Rabboni, my Master, I surrender my will to yours. May your will be done. And then last of all, Bartimaeus' faith drew him to follow Jesus. Look at the last part of verse 52. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You know, the fact that Jesus answered Bartimaeus' request and granted his sight was an indication that as Bartimaeus would keep asking, he could keep receiving. Aren't you glad, Christian, that God answers our prayers beyond just the prayer of salvation? Certainly that's the most important. But God is interested in answering our prayer and in meeting our needs and in expressing His personal love to us. Those who see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ will be drawn to follow Him. Adam Clark, addressing the unconverted, said, "Apply to the Son of David." He was preaching from this text. "Lose not a moment. He is passing by and thou art passing into eternity and probably will never have a more favorable opportunity than the present." Jesus was passing through Jericho. Blind Bartimaeus was, in his very circumstances, stuck in that place. As he realizes that the Son of David is passing by, he realizes this is his moment of opportunity. And I say to you, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come to Christ today. There will be no more opportune moment than the present." J.C. Ryle, an admonishing believer, said, "We too are not allowed to see Jesus with our bodily eyes, but we have the report of His power and grace and willingness to save in the gospel. We have exceeding great promises from His own lips written down for our encouragement. What is the life of saving faith when once begun but a continual leaning on an unseen Savior's word? Lean on Him today. Cling to His promises, not in an obnoxious and demanding way, but in a humble but bold, faith-filled, accurate understanding of your personal Savior, and come to Him with your specific request today and trust Him." Peter said in 1 Peter 1:8, "Whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." It is a joy to walk in the way with Jesus. If you're not, as one preacher said, if you're not as close to Jesus today as you used to be, Christian, guess who moved? It's certainly not God. And maybe there is something where we've strayed off the path of walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some issue you need to deal with today. And you need to, like Bartimaeus, come boldly with humility and accurate faith to Jesus Christ. And He will honor you. He will listen to your request. He will answer it by His supernatural power. And as God is the God of miracles, not just the miracles of the past, He is the miracles of the present. And He has miracles yet in store for us. May we, by faith, ask Him. First is the miracle of the new birth. Have you trusted Him as Savior? And if you have received that miracle of the new birth, are you walking with Him? Are you prevailing in prayer? Someone has said, little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power. The Bible also says, Jesus Himself said, "Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." If you're not rejoicing in your fellowship with Jesus Christ, maybe it's because of a lack of prayerfulness and a lack of the joy of seeing God answer your prayers and direct your life. So let me encourage you, even this morning in our invitation time, to renew your commitment to be a Christian of consistent prayer as you walk with Christ in the way. Shall we bow our heads and our hearts this morning before God's throne? In a moment, we'll have our musicians play a hymn of invitation. And as they play, this is your opportunity to respond. I have not for a long time done a come forward invitation, but I am going to have one this morning. I'll be down front. And as our musicians play just a couple of stanzas of the hymn, my brothers and sisters in Christ, although there is no mystical or magical thing about coming forward and bending the knee here at the altar and praying, yet I have seen it to be an effectual working of God as an actual outward expression of being willing to come towards God and bow the knee and be willing unashamedly, as Bartimaeus was bold and unashamed, to come before God and to pray. Maybe, brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning there is some heavy, deep burden on your heart, something for which you need to come before the throne of God this morning. I would encourage you in our invitation song, which in a moment we'll stand with our heads bowed and our musicians will play our hymn of invitation, that you would come here and you would kneel here at these front steps, or if you can't kneel, maybe sit on one of these front pews and just spend some time in prayer before the Lord. If you're not sure where your soul would spend eternity, you can know that for sure. God's Word promises eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. If you're not sure of that, this is your opportunity. Jesus is passing by you right now. You call to Him, He will stop. He will listen to you, and He will save you. And we would like to show you from God's Word how you can do that. So as we stand in a moment and the musicians play, I'm going to encourage you to be willing to come here to the front and let me know of your interest in the gospel and wanting to trust Christ. And we'll have someone take the Word of God and take you to a quiet place and show you the way of salvation. It will only take you a few minutes. And you can call out by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can move from being the Savior to being your Savior. And you can know you have eternal life. Shall we stand with our heads bowed as our musicians now begin to play? Would you come?